Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Hi, this is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas, Nevada, on the mic again after a little break. We got to fess this up. Michael Godot's here, too.
Yep.
Last week, we were not in the studio. We had all those interviews you heard last week were all pre-taped. We didn't want to tell you that ahead of time because we thought it might bum you out. But now that it's happened, it's happened. So this is our first time back in the studio for Michael Godot for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
You were sailing in freezing water or something. We're at 866-313-FREE, 3733. 866-313-FREE, 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. That's Penn with two N's. PennRadio.com. And we're going to be talking about this fat tax today. The American Medical Association has talked about putting a tax on corn syrup that's used as a sweetener. It's kind of going against Coca-Cola and Pepsi, and they're even going against McDonald's and Burger King. The American Medical Association, the delegates of the powerful American Medical Association at their annual conference will demand a levy on the sweeteners put in sugary drinks to pay for a massive public health education campaign because Americans are really, really fat. What do you weigh, Godot?
200.
200? How tall are you?
5'9".
Yeah.
I'm massively overweight.
I'm $3. I'm $3, and I'm 6'6". So both of us are in the obese category. And do you drink Coca-Cola?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I don't drink Coke. I drink, Diet Coke. But I actually don't drink that because it's got caffeine in it. But I drink the knockoffs.
I don't drink Diet Coke. I don't drink any diet drinks because only fat people drink diet drinks. I think they're related.
And Happy Jack, who's also a bit of a porker, he's drinking drinking Coca-Cola right now.
He's surprised. He didn't know he was a porker.
You should know that. Patrick isn't fat. Isn't fat at all. But we're all fat here.
He has
fat. And on top of being fat, we're also against this fat tax, which I think fat people have to be if you want to stay fat. 866-313-FREE, 3733. And this is interesting. This comes up because I've been talking to this this hippie. There's this hippie I knew when I was right out of high school who really knew music. He's the one that got me involved, got me loving the Sex Pistols. He's a big Velvet Underground fan. He got me loving Clash, all this stuff. And we have been arguing back and forth for like 2 years about the same subject, which is he thinks there should be French style healthcare in the U.S. He's a 911 dispatcher.
Okay.
He answers the phone. And he says people call him up without healthcare all the time. He wants healthcare exactly like France, exactly like Canada. We argue about that. And he also wants more regulation in Russia to stop things like Chernobyl. he thinks the answer to everything is regulation. And he has also said in emails, I don't know why I read them. They get me crazy, I'm going to delete this one right now. he gets me crazy when he writes these emails because his emails say stuff like, we need to hold McDonald's and Burger King accountable for people being fat. Now, this guy himself is a fat guy, but it's certainly not his fault. Just like it's not his fault when people are like living in the woods, and don't have a place to stay. It's not his fault he doesn't get a decent job and buy them a house, It's McDonald's fault. Everything is McDonald's fault. And everything needs, there's never been anything he believes is a problem that can't be solved with legislation.
The government should just fix everything.
Everything.
That's cool.
Completely anti-state. And he also always talks about how rich people have too much money. Too much money. And he's just against all that. And I write him, and I never address the issues. This is the problem. I never address the issues. He asked me, why France does a better job taking care of people than us, why don't we do that? And I say, it's wrong to take money from people with gunpoint and give it to someone else. And he goes, you never address my question. So
it's a moral issue for you. It's not a...
It's not a practical issue. It's not pragmatic. If you told me, it's that issue. How much should you do at gunpoint? Even if it's a good thing, doing it at gunpoint makes it a bad thing. I love listening to the Velvet Underground. If someone puts a gun to my head and says, listen to the Velvet Underground, I then believe it's wrong. I believe it's wrong to force me to do what I want. It's exactly the same as she was asking for it in rape trials. Yeah, I want to be thinner, But that doesn't mean you do it at gunpoint. So this is the great story here. And you can call in, talk about this, 866-313-FREE. There must be somebody, preferably a fat guy, who thinks that it's a good idea for the government to put a big tax on corn syrups. And this is also great because, here we go. I love this because some people don't seem to know what other people's hysterical rants mean. And this is in this article, and this article is from Barry Wigmore in New York. I don't know where we got it from. It's from a webpage. So probably none of it's true. It's probably a hoax that we're just reading. We'll see this on Scopes, you know, Snopes. One American politician labeled it the crack of sweeteners because it's so widespread. That's not what the crack of sweeteners means. It doesn't mean crack is ubiquitous. That's not what crack it means.
The problem with crack is not that it's widely available.
No, that's
it's
not.
Perhaps that it's not good for your health.
Right, and then it's addictive. So that's what the let's give the politician. And I believe I remember years ago when they were doing the cigarette thing. Hillary Clinton was asked about when they wanted to ban smoking in places. Someone said to her, well, you know, Americans are so fat, would you be in favor of some sort of control over junk food? And her answer was, and I will not get it word for word, her answer that Hillary gave was, that's not practical. Not that it's morally wrong to control what people eat, but it is not practical. And the to give a little more, I don't know why I would do this, but to give a little more credence to the hippie that writes to me. And the hippie that writes to me is very, very smart. You know, he could have a job and give money to people, but he's very smart and very lazy, two things together. And he's not saying that they should ban the food. He's saying it's the advertising. It's the advertising that makes him fat. You want to take a phone call? Is what you're looking at me for?
Well, I'm telling you, we have phone calls, and we can continue talking. Sure. We have a lot of data to get out there. It's up to you.
Oh, I wanted to say happy birthday to Sonny and Natalia.
No, you
I
did
wanted
not.
To say that. Sonny and Natalia, who are Adam Carolla's twins, were born last week when we were on break, and I wanted to say happy birthday to them. Congratulations to Adam Carolla. You have a boy and a girl. We have a boy. At least I'm judging from the name, Sonny and Natalia. I guess it could be two girls, or it could be two boys, Sonny and Natalia. It's fine, but I think it's a boy and a girl.
It's really close to a good joke.
And I also should say that People Magazine, the readers of People Magazine, the people spoke and said that my daughter, Moxie, had the worst celebrity name. And the best celebrity name they chose was something like Melinda. But Moxie is the, Happy Jack voted 368 times. He hates that name. But they voted, along with Nick Cage's son, who's named Corral or something. Corral is the Unbreakable dishwasher.
Yes.
But named after Superman's real name.
Dad or something.
Did I just say Superman's real name?
Yeah, Superman's real name.
Let's take a
phone. You've had a long break, haven't you?
Yeah, I did. Superman's fictitious real name.
Let's talk to John on line three. Are you there, John?
Hey, John, are you fat?
No, I'm a skinny little guy, Ben.
Okay, good. We just want to know who we're talking to right away. What do you think of this fat tags thing?
I'm for it. I'm actually a pre-med student, a med student myself. I just graduated from University of Maryland, so I'm looking to go to med school.
Good.
And this is the type of stuff I'm looking at, so I'm all for it.
You're all for it? So you, now, just to make it very clear what we're discussing here, I am not saying that people shouldn't be fat. People should not be fat. I agree with that. I should drop 50 pounds. You know, everybody should be thin. That is definitely healthy. There's no argument about that. The question is, you think the government should lend a hand by taking money away in order to make people thinner?
Well, I think that it's definitely a good idea to put money into public interest and things like educating the public about what it's actually doing. I think that a lot of people don't know just how bad for them this stuff is.
But do you think that's the government's job? I mean, why wouldn't the American Medical Association and private citizens who are all skinny little guys like you, why wouldn't they do the ads on their own as opposed to taxing stuff to give more money to the government to do more stuff like this? I mean, do you think it is part of the government's charter? One of the things you want your government to do is to tell you how to be healthy and how to live?
Well, in response to the first thing, I think that the American Medical Association does have a responsibility to put some of their own money into this. And
absolutely.
To stand up for it themselves. I'm all for that. I think that when it gets to the point that it's at now, where, you know, the term obese is a big load, it's a lie, because it's just based on height and weight, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's not really obese, but I think when the country has this many people in this much of a health risk, then yeah, I think it's time to start saying, all right, we've got to do something about it.
And what do you think should be done about it? I mean, this is my view. This is my crazy view on this is my view of government is you only want government to do things that you feel good about having done at gunpoint. The government is force. That's all it is. And I'm just saying, you know, this is George Washington's take on this, is that government is force. Do you think that stopping people from being fat and getting them to control what they eat is something you want done at gunpoint?
No, but I don't think that's what this will do. I don't think it's going to stop people. It's just going to tell them why they're getting so fat.
But you're okay with telling people at gunpoint why they're getting fat?
Yeah. You're educated.
Okay. As long as you've said that. And also I want to point out, and Goodell's got this number at his fingertips, we subsidize corn farmers to the tune of how much?
$42 billion a year.
$42 billion a year go to subsidizing corn farmers to make corn. And now we're talking about taxing the corn, the high fructose corn syrup, the sweetener which goes into things, you know, from ketchup to cola, to use a little alliteration because it is radio.
Very nice.
You're talking about subsidies which come from our tax money, and then you're going to tax the product of that. Why wouldn't you say, okay, we're not going to subsidize corn farmers at all anymore? That will automatically force the price of corn up, and that'll give you the same amount of that'll give you the tax on there, making Coca-Cola more expensive, and then maybe fewer people will drink it and fewer people will be fat. Why not do it with less government money instead of more?
I don't think that a lot of the corn farmers would make it that way. I mean, yeah, they'd get to jack their prices up, but they'd have to go through a rough period first, and I don't think a lot of them would make it.
So even though what the corn farmers are doing is making people fat, by your point of view, you still want the government with our tax money to give them money to make more syrup so that we can drink it to get more fat and then pay a tax on top of that so that the government can tell us we shouldn't be fat? Am I just making sure? I'm stating your argument clearly. What's that?
It's not the corn that makes you fat. It's one of the byproducts. Corn on the cob's not making people fat. Corn, you know, canned corn, cream of corn's not making people fat. It's corn
right.
syrup.
But you know, there's that new book out about Omnivore's Dilemma that follows corn, and most of the corn that is grown in this country does not go anywhere near corn on the cob. It goes directly to feeding
pigs
and feeding cows, and it also goes directly to corn syrup and other products going to fast food. I believe the factoid that's thrown around is that Chicken McNuggets contain like 38 different corn products in just one serving of Chicken McNuggets. When you're talking about corn, the image you get is the corn is as high as an elephant's eye, which incidentally I always thought meant from the bottom of the eye to the top of the eye, and I thought that's small corn. What they really mean is how high the elephant's eye is off the ground. That's the image, these fields of corn. But the real fact is what the government subsidies to corn does is go right into fast food and junk food. I mean, corn is the monster crop in this country, and now you're talking about the government getting money on both sides of it in order to make all this corn, to make it cheap, to make people fat so that the government can tell them not to be fat.
We also have an email here that points out that companies are using corn syrup because it's so inexpensive. You put a tax on it, they'll switch to beet sugar. You know what I mean? That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, well, they're also I think what his point is, and I always like to say what the point is of the caller while they're on the line. But correct me if I'm wrong. You're talking about what's most important is the education of the public as to how they're getting fat, and you just want to get money to be able to do that. Are you talking about social engineering of jacking up the prices so that people are less apt to buy it?
No, you got me on the first one. I think I agree that everything at gunpoint is at gunpoint first before it's whatever's good from it. I think that's a good point, but I think education at gunpoint is a heck of a lot better than robbery at gunpoint or forcing people to do an act at gunpoint.
Right, or forcing people to listen to music at gunpoint, which you'd have to do for the new Beatles show over at the that I just saw, Cirque du Soleil's Beatles show. I think you'd have to watch at gunpoint. Thanks a lot for calling. Where are you going to med school? Oh, he's off. When I say thanks for calling, that means terminate with utmost discretion. I wanted to ask one question. Yeah, there's the thin guy who's going to going to medical school. I want to ask him if he was going to go into the to public health. As opposed to other branches of medicine.
That would be an interesting question for him, wouldn't it?
Would, but he's not on the phone. Do you want to pretend you're him?
Yeah, I'm going into public health.
Good. Let's take another call. You got another call there, Goodell?
Hi, sure.
Sure.
Let's talk to Melanie online, too.
Hey, Melanie, are you fat?
Hi, how you guys doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Melanie. How are you?
Good. I wanted to say that I think educating the population is very good. See, I didn't even know about all this taxation on corn. And all of that. So listening to you guys, I'm learning this, and I'm thinking, all that's going on behind the scenes. And I also wanted to say, it's much cheaper to buy things that are not good for you than it is to buy the healthy foods.
Well, that I believe that is absolutely not true. I believe if you go to a supermarket, and of course I've never been to a supermarket because I'm too cool for that. But if I were to go to a supermarket, I believe that if you go down the vegetable aisles, that stuff is dirt cheap because vegetables are, many people don't know this, made out of dirt. So they're about the price. You know, vegetables are essentially organized dirt. Is that right?
Somewhat, yes.
Okay, good.
You could loosely define it that way, I guess.
But I think you're just wrong. I think that it's so much cheaper to buy yourself the makings for a salad.
50 pounds of rice, yeah. It's cheap.
And rice and any of that stuff is very, very cheap. Whereas your fast food, although it's convenient, is, I think, for not per calorie, but per protein and so on, very, very expensive. I mean, you can go and buy yourself rice and carrots for all I care. But, I mean, I think that stuff is cheap. I don't think it's that's the money that's the issue. The problem is that food has become, and this is not... It's very hard to spin this as a bad thing. But over the past 100 years, because of the Green Revolution, once again, our good friend Norman Borlaug out of A&M University in the 60s, because of the Green Revolution, food is really, really cheap. All food is cheap. I mean, food used to be a good percentage of people's income, like over half what they paid for food. And now it's down to much lower than that. So I don't think that's true. And also, we're not talking about education. I mean, I'm all for free speech and people saying anything they want, and there being education everywhere. We're talking about people being forced to spend their money while they buy food into going to educate themselves. There's a circular kind of thing that puts the government in the loop there that I don't like.
Okay. I live in California, and my girlfriends, my coworkers and I are talking about it all the time. It's more convenient for us to go down and grab something off of the 99-cent menu at Jack in the Box or McDonald's. Salads in our area is very expensive.
You're talking about restaurants there, and that's a whole different issue.
Right.
I was talking about the actual supermarkets. Yeah, for prepared food, you're right.
What we get is with the farmer's market. We get pretty good deals there.
Yeah, but farmer's market's good. You can get a vegetable there.
Yeah, but I live in kind of a foo-foo area, work in a foo-foo area. And being a mom, you know, we count our pennies and everything. Coworkers and I are always complaining about that, how the healthy food is very expensive.
Uh-huh.
And I also want to get your opinion on, some time ago, years ago, it came out that the tobacco industry was lacing cigarettes and their products with things that makes their product more addictive.
I wanted to ask you
what you thought about the food industry in that perspective.
I believe that looking for the smoking gun of something to make cigarettes more addictive is kind of crazy. You can't get more addictive than nicotine. And nicotine is very, very addictive, so adding something to that seems a little nutty. Yes, in terms of food, they try to make it taste better, and you can spin that into making it more addictive, but making it taste better is part of the people who make food's job. So I don't know if you can really bust them on that. It all comes down to personal choice, and so I'll be able to talk about this more after the break. 866-313-FREE 3733. This is Penn Jillette. Very glad to be talking to you all live again.
¶¶
this is Penn Jillette. We're talking about being fat, and should the government help us not being fat? 866-313-FREE-3733. Penn Radio. PENNRADIO at gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Sydney with Michael Goudeau. We're talking about this. The American Medical Association at the annual conference are going to demand a levy on the sweeteners put in sugary drinks to pay for a massive public health education campaign. They will also call for the amount of salt added to burgers and processed food to be halved. Sure. This move comes as U.S. doctors, like their British counterparts, are becoming increasingly alarmed at the growing number of deaths linked to obesity. The resolution will put doctors on a collision course with Coca-Cola and Pepsi, plus the likes of McDonald's and Burger King. I just had a letter in from, a woman. Hi, Penn. The idea of taxing food that can be bad for people makes me really uncomfortable. Get some talcum powder. It's not the government's responsibility or place to decide for me what I want to do with my body. Not to sound alarmist, but it's a slippery slope. If they want to coerce what goes into my body, they might want to coerce what I do with my body. So next they'll tax condoms because I really shouldn't be sleeping around. And because you're asking, no, I'm not fat. This is from Natasha. Alarmist and slippery slope. You said during the break, you know, we should have known this was coming. Everybody knew this was coming. The second that regulation on cigarette advertising and the regulation on the packs started, there were nuts, a lot of nuts. You know, I was too young at the time. I wasn't a full-grown nut. I was still a seedling nut. But the nuts said the next thing they're going to do is do food. And everybody went, ha, 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 ha. No, they're not going to do food. No, they're not.
That'll never happen.
But if your idea is that the government's job is to take care of people, which is the whole idea of the nanny state, that the government is supposed to take care of us. And if something bad is happening to people, the government needs to take care of it. If they don't have health care, it's the government's job. If they don't have enough money, it's the government's job. If they're eating the wrong things, it's the government's job. And all of this ties into one really neat package, because if you're going to have health care paid for by everybody's health care, then obviously it is everybody's job. That's why you have to ride with a helmet. There shouldn't be motorcycles. If I'm going to pay for you getting banged up doing your stupid-ass extreme sports, then you shouldn't be allowed to do them. It's all tied in. Is the government here to take care of us? And also, maybe some people would like to eat nothing but Big Macs for years and die early of heart disease. Why isn't that a choice you could make? Can't you make the choice to be fat? We got some other calls?
We have plenty of calls.
Okay, take someone. I don't care.
Let's talk to Neil on line one. Are you there, Neil?
Hey, Neil, you a fat guy?
I'm a fellow 300-pounder.
Oh, cool. How tall are you?
I am 6 foot.
Okay, so you got me beat. Okay, what are you going to say about this?
Well, a couple of things, but the one that really pops to mind is gasohol and the use of corn in other ways than corn syrup. I mean, I agree with you, we should not tax the food. I think again, going back to the cigarettes and all that, we're letting our government control way too much of our lives as it is, and we just keep losing rights and paying more taxes. So I think it's a little ridiculous at this point to tax the corn syrup manufacturers or makers, and I think we can use the corn and subsidize this learning curve by going ahead and turning the corn into alcohol and using it with, as a way of...
As liquor. Right. No, I know. And using it as a way to propel the cars. Now, the problem is that ethanol is not in any way practical. The processing of ethanol from corn makes it really expensive. You know, my solution, and it's a nutty one, and as I said, my hippie friend always says that I have a supernatural, unfounded belief in the free market. But we subsidize gas, we subsidize corn, we subsidize all this stuff. Why not just give the money back to the people, let the prices go where they want to go, and then let innovators cash in on those markets? If ethanol really is cheaper, can't we find out without the subsidies? Do you need all that stuff going on? And well,
that's what I mean. Take the subsidies away, and I think you'll find that they will make more money off their corn if they go to you know, if they use it for things like ethanol and other you know, hey.
Sure. I mean, they could find markets for it. Thanks a lot, Neil. Thanks so much. That's the thing. I just let this slide right by me. I'm going to go back to the first caller and say I'm going to misquote him slightly so I can argue with him as a straw man. It's a technique that's used often on radio. Get used to it, Michael Goodell. I'm going to pretend he said things he didn't say and then argue with him and beat him. Okay? But I think that one of the things he said, one of the things I'm going to pretend he said was that he thought that people should be educated into what makes them fat. Didn't he say something like that?
Something like that. Pre-med weasel.
he said that people need to learn that this makes them fat. It's the same thing. Is there a human being that did not know in 1965 that cigarettes were bad for you?
There's not.
Is there a human being that does not know what makes you fat? It's sitting on your ass and it's eating potato chips. That's what makes you fat. Any variations of those things. You tend to be sitting on your ass, you could be lying on your side, and then you could not be eating potato chips, you could also be eating Big Macs. Eating sugary food, eating fat food makes you a fat freak. That's the word. Mind freak, right? You put the word freak in there, it's okay. Makes you a fat freak. It just does. Is there anybody that doesn't know that? So if they're going to have public service announcements that say, don't eat as much, you'll be less fat, or a big ad that says, it's bad to be fat. I mean, it's this argument. We have a culture that worships being thin. There are anorexics all over TV. They're on the cover of magazines. We couldn't have more money put into telling people this is the way you should look, and we are choosing to be fat. There's not a bit of information that I need to be less fat. I have been less fat before. The way I am less fat is to work out more and eat goddamn less. That's all that's to it. So give me, I get an idea. Why don't they put a tax on corn syrup? And then why don't they give all the money to me, and I'll go on the radio every morning and say, if you don't want to be fat, and you shouldn't be fat, get off your ass and stop eating fatso. And now, if you want to call 866-313-FREE, it's the Ben Gillette Show. Solve the whole thing. Is there, what information are they going to bring us? Is there some surprise information? Oh, the whipped cream at Starbucks, it's got a lot of fat in it. Is that a surprise? That actually surprised me and my wife.
Really?
We didn't know the whipped cream at Starbucks had a lot of fat in it.
Really?
But everybody else does. It's only me who was stupid. I mean, if you go to McDonald's, don't you know that eating the napkins is better for you than anything on their menu? But you still go because it tastes great. Right. And Happy Jack, Happy Fat Jack, brings in Krispy Kreme donuts, dozens of Krispy Kreme donuts. There's nobody in this studio that doesn't say, hey, we're getting fat. We just like those globs of sugary fat that Elvis loved. Elvis knew he was fat. Elvis, the stupidest man to ever be famous in the history of the world. A retarded hillbilly who couldn't even spell his name. Didn't know his name. Well, Elvis, my name is Elvis. He didn't know anything. And after, he knew if you said to Elvis, you know, the fact that you eat handfuls of bacon and deep fat fried banana peanut butter sandwiches, if that's what making you Porky King of Rock and Roll, he would go, thank you very much. I know that. Thank you very much. We're back after this. 866-313-FREE. Thank you very much. Elvis didn't do no drugs. This is Ben Gillette, with Michael Goodell, 866-313-FREE-3733. We're talking about the American Medical Association. I don't want to be phony alarmist here. The American Medical Association is going to suggest that the government put this tax on. The tax isn't anywhere. It isn't getting voted on. But it says some U.S. cities and states already levy taxes on soft drinks or junk foods that raise English thing we're reading. So they say 500 million pounds a year, which is what? $750 million a year.
A little over $2, I think.
Okay, so.
Last time I checked.
Half a billion.
I haven't been shopping in England lately.
Yeah. Director of the Center for Science and Public Interest, an independent health watchdog, but earmarking tax revenue for programs promoting better diet would be the first, he added.
Let's just quit paying for it in the first place. This is stupid. Aren't we done? Shouldn't this just be done?
And now they're saying that life insurance companies are considering increased premiums for overweight clients because so many die prematurely. I'm all for that. I think you should be able that the we should let the insurance companies decide who they want to insure and how much they want to spend. But among 6-year-olds, 1 in 10 is classed as obese, rising to 1 in 5 among 15-year-olds. The current generation of school children could be the first to live shorter than their parents. Live shorter lives than their parents. If you don't put the word lives in there, like you just skip over that, it means that there's a whole generation of short, fat kids, which may be true, but that's not what they meant to say. Want to take another call there?
Sure. Let's go to Chris on line one.
Hey, Chris.
How you
doing?
There?
Good. Good.
What you going to say? This
so
is Pat.
You're the one that talks in the pair, right?
In every pair I'm in, I'm the one that talks, yeah. Including this pair with you.
Well,
go ahead.
I was just listening on the radio and, you know, heard you guys talk about this tax and that and about the obesity and that, but it almost comes to the point of, you know, I don't believe in Darwinism, but almost to that point, you know, it's the ones that have that inkling of being overweight, the way they eat and not watching what they do, it's almost going to be a natural selection type process. But yet,
boy,
at the same time, I'm not trying to be mean. I mean, I got friends that are overweight that are, you know, I see them suffer, and, you know, I hate to see it happen, but they're probably
you're saying
early.
That, well, first of all, you said you don't believe in Darwinism?
I really don't, but I'm making a point sort of as a joke in a way.
I see. But, boy, when you say you don't believe in Darwinism with me and Goudeau, it's very hard for us to slide over that. Very hard for us to slide over that.
We can't talk about corn syrup anymore. We have to stop the show.
I know you're making a joke. I know where you're going. But that one little sentence, I don't believe in Darwinism, is kind of like Goudeau and I. It's like hitting a brick wall with a train. It's a very bad analogy. It's like hitting the Grand Canyon with a train. No, very bad analogy. Anyway, it stops us dead. But so you're just saying that let the people who have the genes that make them overweight, that is to say, you're not talking about physical genes that that store fat, but you're talking about genes that make them not smart enough to avoid food, let them just die off and not reproduce?
Well, I mean, it's going to happen. They're going to die early, but they've already had the chance to reproduce by that time, probably.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't have anything against anybody that's obese. In fact, I see people suffer, you know, as far as being winded all the time and struggles and chance of stroke and all that. But, you know, the government stepping in trying to tax food like that, I just don't see that as a feasible option. But yet, you know, they did the same thing on cigarettes because everybody's buying them. You know, hey, there's a greater revenue right there.
Yeah, I think that's the key right there. Is the reason that cigarettes were taxed is that there's money that can go into the government no matter what they do. And the thing thanks for calling the magic words. I was trying not to get sidetracked on the Darwinism thing.
Okay.
But right now, all I can think about is I don't really believe in Darwinism myself, and that we were supposed to slide over that. But I think I'm gonna, because it's not a show about Darwinism today.
We can incorporate both.
Okay, go ahead.
We can go to both.
Go ahead.
Historically, if you could store fat better than your other monkey brothers, you lived longer through lean times. You have evolved to store fat.
And you have evolved to eat as much as you can and to want that fat and to want that greasy, good fat. And
jumping on and eating more than everybody else was good for you up until 100 years ago.
Right. For what? 150? Well, no, for a billion years. Absence of calories was the biggest problem of living things. And That was the biggest problem living thing is not enough calories. For just 100 years, not even 100 years, for 50 years, in one country, you know, or in a handful of countries, too many calories is the problem. It's going to take us a while to adjust. You know, Marvin Minsky, you know, the scientist,
yep, sure.
The AI scientist at MIT, his point of view, he's fat and doesn't exercise at all. His point of view is science will solve it. He's waiting for...
He's 80. He's not going to make it. You and I are hoping still.
Yeah, still hoping. We've that science into will his... solve the whole thing. I don't believe in Darwinism
myself. We've stepped
myself.
Into his pants.
But there's a point to be made here that that is really important, I think. When they tax cigarettes and then use that money for advertising, what they're doing is taking that amount of money out of the public sector. Even if every penny goes into the advertising telling people not to eat. telling people not to eat. That'd be just great. That's a great image of it. Huge billboards. Don't eat. That's what it says. All. Don't yes. eat. That's the new campaign. Don't eat.
Not a McDonald's. 2 miles ahead.
No McDonald's anywhere. They are getting a vig on it. They're getting a take. They're getting a little taste of every bit of money that goes through. And even if they put 100% of the money into advertising, then still there's government money and government control and more bureaucracy that's being brought in. Less money in the public sector, less money in the private sector, more money in the public sector. The other thing is, what is this view that advertising is that powerful? Now, yes, of course, advertising does work. Or people wouldn't spend money for it. There's no way Coca-Cola would spend money on advertising if it didn't work. They know it works and they do it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that anti-Coca-Cola advertising is going to work. I mean, public service announcements always suck. You know, you see these billboards that say stop gang violence, you know, to get out of gang violence. Domestic violence is bad. Do those help anybody? Everybody go, oh, yeah, no, I saw that billboard. I got to stop beating my wife. Does that ever happen? Let's take another phone call. You have another phone call?
Sure. Let's talk to Tom on line 8. Are you there, Tom?
Hey, Tom, I don't really believe in Darwinism myself, but what have you got to say?
Hey, wow, the just jumped.
Oh, hi.
Sorry.
We scared you, didn't we?
Yeah, it did. One thing I was calling in about, I don't know if this is actually true or not, but I seem to remember hearing or reading.
Then you're calling the right show.
Yeah. I seem to hear or read something about corn syrup being chemically different somehow from other sugars, in that when you have enough and you're satiated, it doesn't actually trigger the full response in the brain.
Yeah, that's the general hippie point of view on all heavily processed sugars, and it may very well be true.
And this is something that I heard that's specifically corn syrup. I mean, like all of the
specifically corn syrup. Well, Goudeau is typing feverishly away. Are you trying to find something
research,
on that?
Trying.
Research it by all means. I don't know if it's true.
Yeah.
There was actually one other thing I wanted to just point out to you, or
sure.
to you.
Lay it on us.
In one of your what I've come to find is it was a taped interview on Friday.
Uh-huh.
You said that, and again, I'm going to be misquoting you here. You said that.
Good.
Perfect.
It's a small role.
Turnabout is fair play.
Worst song ever written. It does have a purpose.
What was that? What song?
It's a Small World After All. If you sing the words to Jump in the Fire by Metallica to the tune of It's a Small World After All, it's much more entertaining.
Do a little bit of it for us, would you?
I can't remember the words, but I know we
have. Yeah, me either.
I'll look that up.
Deep in the pit of my fiery hell. And that's all I remember.
Fire Metallica. We'll find that for you. We'll see how it works here.
Right,
here are the lyrics right here. Jump in the Fire by Metallica to the tune of It's a Small World. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to give it a try. I'm waiting right now for it to load. Some of these lyric sites are really slow. Down in the depths of my fiery home, the summons bell will chime, tempting you and all the... No, I can't do it.
Can't do it.
To join our sinful kind, there's a job to be done, and I'm one. You peep... No, I don't think it works. I don't think it scans right. It's a world of junkies, a world of dope. It's a world without God, so there is no hope. It's a world of despair. Tell me, why should I care? It's a small world after all. Okay, those are my lyrics to it. Okay. Down in the depths of my fiery home. That's as far as it works. Then the next line does not have the proper scansion. It's too short. But boy, was that a good idea. Did you finally get the corn syrup? Thanks a lot for calling, Tom.
I got nothing.
You got nothing. Nothing on the corn syrup. The question before the board right here is if corn syrup doesn't trigger your being full. I think the fact that corn syrup, all that high fructose stuff, is just so incredibly densely high calorie that you can eat a lot more of it. And they also stick it in everything. I mean, corn fructose is put in, I think it's like half the things in your supermarket, since we're making up figures. It is exactly half of the things in your supermarket are high fructose corn syrup. And that is certainly part of what's making us fat, but can't we make our own decisions? It goes back to the argument that I have with my my hippie friend in Florida, which is just because something is a good idea doesn't mean the government should do it. As a matter of fact, if something is a really good idea, the government definitely shouldn't do it. Want to take one more call? We'll squeeze one more call, then sure.
Sure, sure. Let's go to line 7. Mike.
Hello, Mike. Do you have something to sing to It's a Small World or something on the subject?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. If I promise not to sing, will you still let me? Will you still take the call?
Sure. We've taken the call.
Well, then there you go. Real quick, you know, this whole thing about taxing soda pop and junk food, it goes back to a theme that happily you guys have touched on time and time again, which is the government's pathetic attempts to legislate and control social behavior by taxation and by policy. And, you know, first off, we all know anybody who's, you know, sentient, and, you know, granted, I don't know how many of them are listening right now, but I'm sorry. You know, we all know that taxation is absolutely the most worst way to try and legislate anything. The government's attempts to control us by putting a tax on it, it's just like you said. All it does is take more money out of the private sector and put it in the hands of the people that have proven time and again that they are the least capable of managing it effectively.
And beautifully, you know, said, especially the phrase most worst.
The most worst. And what's even more gooder, if I may be so bold, is the whole concept that the government feels this self-entitled responsibility, this self-appointed responsibility of governing how people raise their children and how adults manage themselves. And you know, Mr. Godot hit it right on it with the cigarette smoking. Listen, I'm a cigarette smoker since the age of 16, and I'm paying out the nose with these taxes, and I'm still smoking. And all the public service announcements in the world haven't changed it, and I'm not an idiot. I know I'm hurting myself. I know I'm damaging myself. I'm the only one who can be responsible for managing my own behavior. Parents are the only people that can instill any sense of social norms and you know, proper behavior in their kids. The government needs to step back, manage the police, manage the fire, pick up the garbage, stay out of our lives.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks for calling.
I like him.
I like him
a lot.
Most worst.
Most worst.
Most worst. Most worst. So let's sum this up. We have all ranted against the fat tax on Coca-Cola and Pepsi to educate people that food makes them fat, and we are all going to lose. Once again, the government will win. The nanny state will overcome us. And in 10 years, we're going to be saying, oh, so the food thing was okay, but now they're starting to legislate this. Legislating shoes.
We all have to wear glasses because some people have bad eyesight.
Exactly. Exactly. It's very, very Kurt Vonnegut. This is Penn Jillette and Michael Godot. We're both fat. We're both on Free FM. Talk to you tomorrow.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.